Welcome back to Eco Talk. We want to bring you an update on an expedition that is anything but a walk in the park. We have just received the first dispatch from the Polar Adventure that we told you about a couple of weeks ago, with two women taking part. Anne Bancroft and Liv Arneson's first day traveling on the ice yesterday began with some drama on Canadian Ward Hunt Island as a small aircraft collided with one of Anne's sleds. Fortunately, no one was hurt. We understand that they were pulling their 200-pound sleds when an airplane carrying a travel group landed on Ward Hunt Island's airstrip. As it landed, it began pulling off the traditional landing course, heading directly toward the two. Now, the pair moved quickly to avoid collision, but the plane's ski hit Anne's sled, puncturing a hole and also ripping the binding from one of Liv's snowshoes. So the dynamic duo is happy to report that after braving some temperatures down about, minus 58 degrees Fahrenheit, they are repairing their gear, getting back on track, a little shaken up. That's a heck of a way to start. I think it's about a 68-day course through the Canadian Arctic, trying, of course, to bring attention to the melting ice sheets and to educate America's school children with reports directly from Canada fed into participating classrooms. And speaking of what's happening up in Alaska, that being the canary in the coal mine, want to tell you about an event we just found out about today, and that is the Climate Crisis Action Day taking place in our nation's capital March 20th to bring attention in part to the effect of global warming, first in Alaska, but of course everywhere else as well. Please to welcome Cindy Shogan to the program. She has been executive director at Alaska Wilderness League since 1998, almost a decade there. And under her leadership, the Alaska Wilderness League's membership has grown from 200 to 10,000 members nationwide. We suspect that has something to do with global warming. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
I guess this is the green lining, as I say, to the bad news, as people are finally starting to wake up, pay attention, join groups like yours, and have first ever events like the one you're planning for, about a week and a half?
Yeah, that's right. On March 20th, we anticipate thousands of folks from across the country, mainly on the eastern seaboard, will be coming to Washington, D.C. and urging their members of Congress to do two things, to help pass legislation that will reduce climate change and global warming and also protect the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. It won't be as cold as those two women are experiencing in Canada, and hopefully not as potentially dangerous, but it's a great opportunity to do basically what they're doing, but in the halls of Congress, is taking action and telling Congress, we know global warming is happening, and as you said, Alaska really is a canary in the mine shaft, and Alaska, what's happening in Alaska is going to happen to the rest of the country if we don't take action. This is an opportunity, instead of taking your sled into Canada, come to Washington and visit your two senators and your representative and say, please pass significant legislation to protect the place and to stop global warming.
Get in your Prius and head east, right?
Right. Yeah, so busloads of folks will be arriving that morning and throughout
even
the day.
Better.
And then on the west lawn of the Capitol, we'll have sort of an official program from 11 to 1 where we'll have some really interesting speakers highlighting what folks are doing across the country to help reduce our carbon intake and also protect the refuge. There's a young woman in Florida who years ago figured out that if everybody inflated their tires, that would save more oil than we would ever consume from the Arctic refuge. There's a little girl from the local community who's 8 years old who has a polar bear blog. And you go to her blog and she says, listen, you know, polar bears like to swim, but they can't swim forever. I mean, it's just obvious that the polar bear population is being impacted by climate change, and we really have to take action.
And just to underscore what you're talking about, Arctic temperatures apparently are rising four times faster than the global average. Alaska facing the most climate change damage in the U.S., reported there more than any other place. And the Intergovernmental Panel Climate Change Report that we have been talking so much about that came out just a little over a month ago notes that Arctic sea ice shrunk by over 20% since 1978, and we suspect that rate is only going to accelerate. So give us some of the names of the keynote speakers, some of our favorite congresspeople up there greening the Capitol.
Right. Well, we've, of course, invited a lot of our heroes and presidential candidates on the Hill, but have not responded yet, but I'm sure once they hear the size of the crowd, they will be there. But right now, our congressional champions who are speaking will be Congressman Markey from Massachusetts, who introduced the Arctic legislation, and then Congressman Waxman from California, who introduced the climate change legislation, and then good old wonderful now Senator Sanders, who introduced similar climate legislation on the Senate side.
Bernie Sanders,
we'll
our friend,
lots
yes.
Of, folks from around the country. We have faith leaders from various faith communities and churches that are doing what they can to stop their dependence on oil. And we have a large contingency of Alaska Natives coming down, probably 40 to 50, who represent villages across the North Slope, but also some in Southeast Alaska.
And do you invite any green celebrities besides those in Congress?
Of course, we invite the celebrities, but it's always hard to get them here. So we're still formulating the list of speakers, but I'm sure it'll be really exciting.
And the MC is going to be, a local radio personality named Weasel. I've not heard of him, but he's from the first radio station to ever go green. So we'd like to hear more about that.
And some of us grew up with Weasel. He was on an alternative radio station in Washington, and I'm just so excited that he's going to MC the event and probably have a live feed. There's been a lot of support from the environmental community and the climate change community and also some local businesses, the Washington City Paper, and like you said, the radio station.
Yeah, and it's 94.7 FM. It's the Globe. It's a CBS affiliate. Do you know anything about that? I mean, I know a little bit because I have my other program on CBS, and I got an inner office memo about that about a month ago, and I thought, good for
exactly
CBS.
When they first announced it. So I think this might be their first collaboration or foray into, being green. So
going
we're really
public.
Excited to be one of the first ones.
Absolutely. And they replaced their gas-guzzling fleet with hybrids. I know that. They were talking about putting some solar panels on the roof or the tower. And it's just a great way to, educate the public by saying we're starting here first. And I think CBS Radio has plans to green all their affiliates. That may take a while.
Well, I just wanted to tell your listeners a little bit about, in case they're shy about coming to Congress or, don't know how to so-called lobby, we have lots of volunteers who are ready to hand you a red shirt with a polar bear on it and tell you who your representative is in case you don't know and your senators and where their offices are. And we'll give materials on the two pieces of legislation that we're really hoping Congress will take action on.
Why the crimson T-shirts? Why not green?
Red just looked really powerful.
Red is an emergency. That's
no,
appropriate.
No, it's not an emergency. But no, it's
not. It's, Al Gore says it is.
No, we're not. They're crimson, so they're not an emergency. Basically,
okay.
We like to have a sea of color on Capitol Hill, and it's very powerful when members of Congress are walking the halls and see red after red after red after red T-shirt.
Mm-hmm. Well, this will be the non-virtual March on Washington for climate change awareness.
Exactly.
Okay, so glad you're getting word out. We'll do our part. I wish we could be there, but.
And then if I could also just finally tell your listeners, if they want to come, you can just go to climateaction.org and sign up to get on a bus or carpool here.
And those who can't make it, is there a way to participate virtually, perhaps sign their name to a petition?
If you go to that website, you'll be urged to take action, but also you can help make the event carbon neutral by donating. So it's a great website.
So I understand that you're calling this your voice for Alaska's wilderness and the nation's capital.
That's correct.
What made you decide to, take it to Washington, D.C.? I mean, that's really the power center. Of course, that's obvious. But your work in Alaska has really finally getting the attention of not only the nation's leaders, but world leaders as well. I guess it's, a good thing to increase that momentum to bring about this tipping point even faster.
Yeah, I mean, I think what people don't always realize is a lot of the beautiful lands in Alaska, whether it's on the North Slope and the Arctic Refuge or the Tongass National Forest, those are all public lands and they belong to you and me. And ultimately, Congress and the President determine how those lands are protected and managed. So we're saying, these are your lands and you should come to Washington and tell Congress that we want to protect these lands. So that's why we're very focused on sort of making sure that Congress doesn't develop these special places and that Congress protect them for future generations.
And are you encouraged by the new leadership in Congress and the focus finally on energy and climate change action?
Yeah, it's very encouraging. It's definitely a new day. I mean, it's still Congress, and it's still going to be hard to pass legislation, but I think what's refreshing about the new Congress is that there'll be much more openness and oversight and actually looking at the facts instead of suppressing science and not letting everybody have their voice. I think that's what's really, really exciting about the new Congress. I mean, it'll still be hard, and we still have President Bush, who's not quite convinced yet that climate change is a problem, but like I said, just the opportunity to talk about these issues and let people talk about them is refreshing.
And let them know about your group, which obviously is getting new interest.
Yes, well, we've been around for 13 years, and as you said, we're your voice for Alaska and the nation's capital. So we're based in Washington, and we work very hard to protect the coastal plain of the Arctic Refuge, which has been under siege for the last 6 years. So it's kind of nice to take a little sigh or breath there. Mm-hmm. And we also work very, very carefully and hard to protect the Tongass National Forest, which is an amazing rainforest. And there's always interest in logging the forest, and we're
Wonderful.
Trying to stop that.
Well, continued good work, and we'll check in with you about the event, if not right before it, then after it. And wish you success. We'll certainly do our part here at EcoTalk to spread the word.
Thank you so much.
We'll be back right after these messages, and you'll find a link on our website, which is www.ecotalk.net.